Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. God bless.
God bless.
Good afternoon, everybody.
All right. Good afternoon, Sister Emily and Six Eyes, Missionary Ken. Are y'all awake today?
Partly.
Partly. So that hour back messed you up? All right. Well, let's go ahead
more
and
sleep,
get into our show.
We get more sleep, you know, because of that extra hour, you know.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Yes. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and hope everyone's mental is good today. And if not, let's see if hearing the message from Missionary, Pastor Bonnet today will help us. I know Missionary Ken is not actually preaching today, but he does a good job when he does. Amen. All right. So we're going to go ahead and have our opening prayer by Missionary Ken, and then we're going to get into our program. Amen.
Amen. It's November 5th, 2023.
Yes, it is.
Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for another day. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch us now, Lord Jesus, as we get into this program, Lord Jesus. We give you the wheel, Lord Jesus, and we ask you right now to touch each and every heart, each and every life, Lord Jesus, as we go through this program, especially this soul who is nearest to hell, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch their heart, help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word, Lord, says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, Lord Jesus. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to any kind of illness, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who have some sort of illness out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can. And then, Lord Jesus, for all these dirty, rotten situations that we hear about on the radio set or the television set, Lord Jesus, or that we read about in the newspapers, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch our hearts, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love our neighbors ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you for that prayer.
Are we ready for our morning scripture reading?
We are ready.
This is Luke 14, verses 1 through 10. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread, on the Sabbath day that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus said, and Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath day. And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when art thou bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at the meat with thee. And this was Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Emily, for that reading.
All right. Okay, so are we ready for the gospel music at this point? We ready to boogie? If y'all need some pep.
Let's dance.
All right, let's get a good selection pulled up here.
Amen. He is bigger.
Hallelujah.
To a rugged cross,
my Savior,
bear my sins,
just to rescue me.
My replacement,
took my place, so I wouldn't have to die.
My provider,
now I have, everlasting.
Come on, my Redeemer. Sent to a rugged cross,
my
Savior, bear my sin,
my replacement,
took my place,
so
my provider,
now I have.
Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
Oh,
how turbulence is the price you pay for flying high. So whenever you're flying high, you're going to have some bumpy areas. That's why I want to encourage you. So don't give up, but hang in there.
Fitness is a big part of my life, and I've learned that it needs to be regular, a discipline we need to do especially on the days when we're not in the mood and don't have a lot of energy. And like physical fitness, our spiritual fitness is something we tend to put off. But regular time alone with God is essential in getting to know Him. I wrote my new book of 365 devotions right from the heart to serve as a spiritual warm-up. It's not a substitute for talking with God through prayer and listening to God through the study of His Word. It's a supplement to get the spiritual juices flowing. I pray that the Lord will bless you through each day's message. May these thoughts give you a hunger to know Him. And most of all, I hope they'll connect you with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Meeting with God is a way to have a meaningful and abundant eternal life. Some common questions people ask about quiet time. Number one. With all the stresses of life, how do I make time daily for a quiet time? Well, there's never time for a daily quiet time. As a pastor, I sure don't have enough time for a quiet time. But I have to ask God for a hunger to know Him and a hunger to spend time with Him. Then it becomes the most important appointment of my day. I keep daily lists, and number one on my daily appointment list is time alone with God. I encourage you to do the same. Number two, by using Right from the Heart, what would a daily quiet time look like? I decided to write these devotions short and easy to understand because people really are pressed for time. So first, ask God to open your mind and heart, read the scripture reference, maybe reread it again, then read the devotion for the day and let it sink in. Don't be tempted to read ahead. Just one a day will give you a fresh food for thought and get your spiritual juices flowing. And then ask God for a special time with Him through prayer and Bible study. I hope in the process that you get to hear from God.
We've all been on the dance floor, and now our bonnet is here to join us and give us a word today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine.
That is good. That is good. I've had a hard time in the Lord on today. As you all know, usually this is my third service. I just got finished preaching the message that I had prepared for this program, and the Lord took it in an awesome way today. And I just tell you, I've already got my true excitement, my energy boost. Amen. I'm praying for just a little bit more juice so I can share it with you all. This same message on today. So hopefully, prayerfully, your ears are, there's a scripture that says faith comes by hearing, the word of God. I heard that scripture growing up, and there's over the time there have been different ways that explain that scripture text. It simply means that the preacher that is sent, how can he hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he's been sent? And so I understand that in earlier biblical times, that the population of reading and writing levels was low. And oftentimes in many of the culture, as the scriptures was passed around, many of them was written or copied by those that had somewhat maybe of a limited education or ability to write it or to translate it into the language in which, for the most part, it came upon each generation and each community to resound the words of truth as they heard it. And so as the biblical teachings were being taught and passed around, people had gotten accustomed of resounding to the best of their ability what was spoken by the preacher. And so the attentive span was very tuned in and undivided because they wanted to hear what God had to say. They didn't want to miss it. So they tuned in, they locked in, they locked little stuff out, all the distractions, so that they may hear the word of God. Therefore, faith came by hearing, because people was empowered through the scriptures to go and resound what was spoken in other communities and in other settings and other temples or churches, if you would. So they was excited. Thing I want you to do today is whatever you receive from this message, I want you to get excited about it. Be excited about it. I want you to share, as they like to say when they ask you to follow them on TikTok and Facebook and all these other platforms, they say like and share. Amen. I want you to like the word of God, and I want you to share the word of God. Amen. Somebody. I want you to like the word of God, and I want you to share the word of God, because the word of God is here to bless you. It is here to encourage you. It's here to strengthen you. So I want everyone that's listening today, no matter what platform you're listening from, amen, I want you to like and share. Say, but brother preacher, I've just listened to it from the computer, my telephone. I want you to like it and share it. How you like it, enjoy it. How you share it, open up your mouth and resound what you hear me say today to somebody today. Don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow you may forget. Tell it today. Amen. If you take notes, then, you know, then you may hold on to it tomorrow. But tell it today. Amen. If you do that for us, then the gospel of Jesus Christ will be shared amongst all of those within the world. Amen. And if everybody picked up that attitude and spirit, wow, I tell you, Jesus, who told us in Luke, say, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the vineyard. Amen. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So today I am indoctrinating you. I am soliciting you. I am empowering you, the listener, to be a laborer for the kingdom of God. Amen. This month's emphasis of November, God bless all of those that have come before me, everything that's been done. We want to tell God thank you for Brother Six, the founder of the Six Eyes Radio Network. Thank God for this platform, the opportunity to come and this platform, this the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. I thank God for the opportunity to come and share with you what God has given me through his scriptures. Amen. And prayerfully, it will bless you in a wonderful way, and you would use the tools that I'm going to share with you to go and help build somebody else's faith and build somebody else's courage and build somebody else's hope. Hopefully what I share with you in building you, amen, and helping repair you, encourage you that you would go and do the same. Amen. Even if you just have to show them how to download the iHeartRadio app and go to type in Six Eyes Radio and then go to the broadcast and hear it on demand. If you got to show them how to do it, because you can't resound it like you want to or like you should, take them to the spot where they can listen for themselves. Do like the woman at the well. Come hear a man that told me everything. Come hear a message that blessed my spirit. Come hear. So give them the tool on how to find us on whatever platform you have found us on. Amen. Amen. Whether it was TikTok, Facebook, or et cetera, whatever. However you found us, the internet, share it with a friend. Share it with your enemy. Amen. Because if they get saved, they no longer be your enemy. Amen. All right. The month of November, the 11th month. Man, this year is almost over. To God be the glory. Amen. 2023 have come, and it's almost gone. In a few weeks, we will be celebrating Thanksgiving. Amen. And that is part of this monthly emphasis. Our monthly emphasis is on prayer, but we're going to pray with Thanksgiving, prayer and Thanksgiving. So all month long, we're going to be dealing with the concept of prayer and Thanksgiving. Amen. Prayer and Thanksgiving. Amen. What that means, how should we go about it? What is it? Amen. And so we're going to be diving into all the different topics on prayer this month. And so I pray that God will allow you the opportunity to tune into all of these programs. Amen. And even on our Motivational Monday program, we're going to continue the same teaching. Next month, we're going to be talking about, I'm going to be giving you the tools to why Jesus is the Christ and different things of that nature as we close out the year in celebration of Jesus Christ. But for now, we're going to be talking about prayer today. If I can give you a topic or a title, it will simply be Never Give Up and Never Give Up and Praying. Never Give Up and Praying. Amen. I want to read a scripture text for you just to put in your spirit. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 7 and 8. I will be reading this from the King James. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7 and 8. It reads as follows. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. I got to park right there for a second. I want you to know there's power in going to church. I want you to know there's power in tuning in to a church service broadcast. Hey, there's power. There's power that brings forth joyfulness. Amen. If you are sad, if you're going through some difficult times, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling depressed, oppressed, those things are able to be diminished simply by making it to the house of prayer. You may not have the physical ability to leave your home and get to the church house, which is the house of prayer, but you tune in to it, be it radio, television, or internet. But the whole point and the focus was you pressing your way to get to the house of God. Why you want to make it to the house of God? Because the house of God is called the house of prayer. Well, we got to deal with prayer. Prayer, the word pray, it deals with a request or to inquire. Amen. If you want to request something of the Lord, you must learn how to pray to the Lord. And you do that by you making it to the house of God. Joyfulness is automatically added to you. Why? Because you've gotten into a place where you know your request will be heard. That's a powerful tool right there. Because many times we get on this program or that program and we begin to ask for this or ask for that, or we request this or we request that, and sometimes we wonder whether or not it was received. We wonder whether or not we're going to have a response. One of the longest thing is when you write off for a grant or you write for opportunity to do this or that, and you have to wait on the response. A lot of times when we pray, but we don't wait on the response. We don't wait to see if God's going to respond and how he's going to respond. We run off doing whatever, and we didn't wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes, you know, it's not good enough for you to just get on the phone with me and say, Pastor Barnett, Prophet Barnett, Kenneth, I require this, that, and the other of you, and then hang up the phone. Most people, when they pray, Lord, I need this, and Lord, I need you to do this, and Lord, do this, and Lord, why haven't you done this, and Lord, don't you see this, and Lord, and then we hang up the phone. And God, I believe you to do it, amen. And we get up and we go on about our business. We don't wait on the response, and we don't follow up to make sure that it was even received. And so many times the reason why some of us don't pray is because we haven't seen the results from our prayers. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like going on a job, agreeing to work for this company for X amount of dollars. And with many companies, most times you have to put a week in the hole, some 2 weeks, depending on the company. And so you're trusting them to be faithful within a timely manner that you agreed on, that if you were give them your skill, your talent, your treasure of time, and you will follow through with their request of your agility, your ability, your mental capacity. If you give them that and in exchange for them to do something for you, well, you don't mind because of the agreement, the week in a hole, even though you still got bills, and that the reason why you were trying to get a job from the beginning because you had some obligations, some responsibilities, some desires that only money was going to be able to answer, and so you knew you had to get a job. You knew you had to make well with all. You had to make ends meet and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so you go to work that 1 week, and you put that week in a hole, and you work the following week, and at the end of the week, you're expecting payday for the week before. Am I right about it? Yes, you are. You're waiting on that. And if by chance the owner or the manager tell you, we're sorry, there's been a delay on the checks, but it'll be here next week. Now, you may ask a few questions, and if they resound the same way that it will be here next week, then you will show back up for work on Monday, and you will work to Friday. And when Friday comes, payday, when payday comes again, you expecting not just one check, but you're expecting two. The one check is the least that you expect, although you're looking towards two, because now you're putting 2 weeks in the hole and they only required one, so you're looking for an increase because you have rendered service, you have done what was required of you, amen, somebody, and so you're looking, you're anticipating on that check, and payday comes, and that manager tells you again, the check has been held up, it's coming. Now, depending on how saved you are, I got to say it like this, depending on how developed you are, how delivered you are, there's going to be some words come out of your mouth. There's going to be an action and behavior that you're going to have to deal with within yourself, because now not only have they told you you're not going to get the 2 weeks, but you're not even going to get the 1 week. And in your mind, in your spirit, you have given them your script. You have given them something that you can't get back. And so there's an expectation from them, that promise, Lord have mercy, to pay you for your service. Some of you are not going to show up Monday for work. Some of you going to begin to look around the work and see what is comfortable to equal pay. Amen. Some of you going to have some real attitudes, and you're going to say some things that you ain't going to be able to take back. Amen. About your money. What are you saying, Brother Preacher? I'm saying to you, the Bible gives us some promises. And our prayer should always be the conversation that lead us in the direction of those promises. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, if, conditional, if my people, who people, God's people, if God's people those of you that call yourself born again believers, those of you call yourself followers of Christ, those of you that say you serve the true and living God. He said, if, conditional, if my people who are called, see, some of you call yourself all kinds of stuff, but you're not calling yourself a child of God. You're not calling yourself the child of the anointed one. You haven't lined up. In other words, you didn't show up to work. You didn't punch the clock. You're wondering why you haven't gotten certain things, but you got to punch the clock to get paid. Lord, help us today. You want a check. You want the benefit from working, but you ain't punched in. You haven't done what was required. He said, if conditional, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Now, first of all, humble yourself don't mean we're talking real low and meek and mild and all timid. That is not humbling. That is not humbling. Actually, this humbling means to fast, to deny oneself of your own desire. This is fasting. If my people who are called by my name, name mean character. That means you can't say you're a child of God, but you still act like a child of Belial. That's the devil. For those of you who don't know. You're unruly. Without restraint. Who are called by my name will humble themselves fast and pray and seek my face. That's what it says. Seek. That's prayer. Prayer is seeking God. Prayer is solely you demanding of God if you haven't lined up with his will. Then there's no demand because he's only obligated to fulfill his own will. So will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's the will of God, not the hand of God. Too often times, Lord, I need a new car. Lord, I need a new man. Lord, I need a new woman. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need. We solemn say, Lord, is it anything I can do to bless the kingdom? Lord, how can you use me like you made me? Lord, how can I continue to fulfill my purpose? Lord, what is my purpose? Lord, am I doing my purpose? We're talking about prayer. People who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. Now, this turn is 180, not 360. Because some of you say, I turned around for the Lord, okay? But you still walk in the same direction. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? God said, this is an abomination, but you said, well, God, there's grace for me. There's grace for you to turn from that. Not grace for you to continue that. Oh, I know y'all don't like the preacher now. That's all right. We want to continue to do wrong and think grace gonna cover it. It doesn't. There's no scripture that supports that statement that you can continue to do wrong on purpose. That means your heart hasn't changed. So that means you haven't repented because you haven't rethought how you do what you do and why. Honors the prayers of his people. And when they come into his house of request, his house of provision, he sends them joy. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, let's go to church. And they said, oh, I got to go to church, man. Oh, preacher's going to be preaching all day. Man, I hope she sang my song today. We got all kinds of mixed feelings and emotions and thoughts around the church. But how many of you just said, man, I'm just glad to get into the place where my prayers will be heard? Why? It's his house. If you came over to my house and you went to my restroom and just say the tissue paper ran out, you're not going to come out the restroom to tell me, but from within the restroom, you're going to holler out because you know I'm in the house. You're going to say, Bonnie, there's no tissue paper in here. You're not going to worry whether or not I heard you because you spoke loud enough that I could hear you. And if you don't hear a response from me, you're going to resound the same thing again. Bonnet, there's no tissue in here. You're not going to sit there and try to negotiate. Well, Bonnet, if you bring me some tissue in the bathroom, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that. No. You know, because it's my home, that I'm going to provide some necessities. Glory to God. That's a necessity. Necessity. It ain't got nothing to do with desire. It got something to do with need. There's a need for the tissue. Yes, Lord. So you ain't bargaining. You're simply requesting. And you're going to speak until I respond. And the problem with many of us, we don't wait on the response of God. Help today, Lord. And I'm going to come tap on the door and tell you to crack it a little bit and slide it in there to you. And you're going to have what you need. We got to know how to call upon the name of the Lord in his house. Because he's going to come and he's going to supply what we need. Why? Because we're in his house. We can't be more hospitable than him in his house. That's why it's important for the house of God, the church, to be called the house of prayer. But if you're not praying in your churches, call the house of God. If you're not praying in it. Some of us want to dedicate our homes to God. Can you truly dedicate it as a home of God if you're not praying in it? I don't know who that's for, but whoever it's for, it's for you. You better receive it. You better grab hold of it. You better utilize it. You want God to be in your house and make it a house of prayer. That's the revelation of it right there. You make your home a place where you pray. Then God can truly be invited there. Oh, Lord, help today. Help you, Lord. Glory to God. Let me come on. Let me go on and finish reading this text. So I'm going to pull up the parking brake. Let's get back into it. Joyful in my house. Joyful. What? Joyful in my house. The house of God is not to be miserable. So if you are born again believer, if you are a Christian, no such thing as being a miserable Christian in the house of God. Now, because he's released to you joy. And if you're miserable, that's because you threw the joy down. You threw it down. Telling you today, pick it up. He made it available for you. It's in his word. You don't have to plead a bargain with him. Joyful in my house of prayer. Now, there are some conditions. There are some prerequisites here. There are some actions on our part that's required. In this day and time, their burnt offering. The thing that they have made a conscious decision to give. their burnt offerings, and their sacrifices. In other words, that sacrifice, something that cost you something. Mm. Something you had to push to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted. That's why we tell you to bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse of the church. That's why we tell you to bring your mind and your body into the house of church. Make be a sacrifice for you to go to church because you have to walk. You don't have a transportation. They ain't got no bus service. You may have to walk. There's a sacrifice for you to get there. You got to pay somebody to drive you. So he said, their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. That's a lot of things that we don't do too much in some of these mega churches. We don't bring people to the altar for prayer. Mm, Lord have mercy. Keep on going, preacher. I accept it upon my altar. For my house, God is saying, for mine house shall be called an house of, not a house of complaining, not a house of murmuring and backbiting. No, Lord, a house of prayer, a house of request, a house of inquiring of the Lord. What are we requiring? We're requiring his will. What are we looking for? What are we searching for? We're searching for the will of God because there's an acceptable will and which is part of the, what he allows, and then there's a perfect will is what he desires. So my house shall be called a house of prayer for all, A-L-L, people, black, white, yellow, red, it doesn't matter. Young, old, middle age, barely age, a house for all people, Jews, Gentiles, Greek, Muslim, whoever, Buddhist, my house, he said, is a house of prayer for all people. Because you may come in with wrong understanding, but if you pray right, you'll leave out with joy and a right understanding of his word. The Lord God, which gather the outcast of Israel, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. The purpose of the church house, the purpose of the house of God is to gather nations together, to bring people together, to bring them under the kingdomship of God. Our job is to indoctrinate you to the kingdom, to help you to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. So, a prayer of persistence. Remember I gave you, never give up in praying. So this prayer here that we're going to be talking about today is in the book of Luke. I want you to look through. I can't rush this. I must take time to break this down, and we're going to look at this together. This prayer is a prayer for justice. A lot of us want justice. You know, we are, especially here in America, we are a society. We're built up on the idea of heroism. We want a hero. We want someone to save us. We want someone to rescue us. We want someone to take out the bad guy. We want We want evil to suffer and the good to reign. We are looking for somebody to help the lowly, the broken. We want somebody who is considered of those who may be considered nobody. We want a Superman. We may even want a Wonder Woman. We just want somebody that is willing to do the hard thing when life becomes very difficult. But the truth of the matter is there's no superheroes like the comics and the cartoons. There's no Robin Hood that takes from the rich and gives to the poor. There's no one that can come and bail us out every time we find ourselves in a bad situation. So our hero dependency, because the way we have it, sometimes we misunderstand prayer and how to seek God and how to depend on God. So this prayer today, a prayer of persistence, this prayer is a prayer for justice and what is right. A prayer for justice is a prayer that when you have been, when your rights, have been taken, when your rights have been trampled on, when the liberty that was given to you in life to live it has been stolen. Prayer, a prayer for justice that God himself will hear. And because God himself hears your prayer for justice, for what is right, as a kingdom citizen in good standing, emphasis on good standing, you have a right to petition heaven to bring forth justice on your behalf, because it's covered in its constitution. The Bible exposed to us the constitutions surrounding heaven, God's kingdom. And it's important for us to know our civil liberties. And oftentimes, many times, our fight with the enemy is because we don't know our rights. And we don't know how to fight back using the word of God. But the enemy, the devil, the evil forces working against the kingdom of heaven wants to hinder your advancement in this territorial called earth. That system don't want us to spread and grow and develop the kingdom of God in this territory called earth. So we as human are often attacked, especially when we are called the children of God. The mere fact that you are a born-again believer, living target, especially when you leave your home. Because the devil do not want you to share with others the liberty that God gave to man and the power of that. They don't want you to share it Because if you share it, the person that they had bound will no longer be bound. Drug, alcohol, sex, same. It doesn't matter whether it was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. It doesn't matter. Once you give somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ, whom the Son set free is free indeed. That means debt free. Indeed, that means you don't owe no devil, nobody, nothing. The wages of sin, the cost of it, is death. So we are all debtors to the law. And this is why we pray. This is why we must pray. Because we must elevate our mind, we must elevate our conscience, our understanding, so we act as citizens and behave as citizens of a kingdom that don't have to have laws. We just simply do what God created us to do, like we see in nature. Let me read. Those of you that follow me, so I'm not going to rush these next eight verses in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading the New Living as we move forward. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8 of the book of Luke, St. Luke. And we're going to be reading and looking at verses 1 through 8. Verse 1 says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story. King James said he gave them a parable. He told them a story to show that they should always, how many? Always pray and never give up. That's where I get my title. Never give up in praying. So one day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Verse 2, there was a judge in a certain city. He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. So this judge, who was in charge of settling disputes between neighbors or opponents, opposers of one another, this judge was a judge that was supposed to establish or to assure righteousness. That means what's fair, what to enforce what's written. This judge is one that will say you right, you wrong, or both of you wrong, both of you right. This judge was a judge who was supposed to resolve dispute, and he was so taken by his position that he did not fear God. I mean, he didn't reverence God. Whether God existed or not, he didn't care. And so because he didn't care about that, why would he care about that which looked like God and walk in the image of God? And that's the people that God made. So he didn't care about them neither so much. To him, it was just a job. It was something that he was required to do. It was something that gave him a constant paycheck. And sometimes some judges, they made judgment based on who can pay them. So God often told us to be righteous judge and to judge not because of money. So this judge who had no reference for God, no respect for God or any concern about any other people, He was just doing his job, a widow woman in that city. Widow women in that city, in a city that was male dominant, a society that only gave land possessions to men and that was to be passed on to their sons. So oftentimes a widow woman, especially one beyond the age of 60, would be one that could not defend for themselves, did not have there was no social welfare. So they often had to go to the church. And the church fed them because of their service to the church. So a widow person in that city, a widow was considered the woman who was left without her husband and didn't have family, came to him repeatedly. How did she come? She came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice. King James said revenge. Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. King James said revenge me of my adversary. In other words, someone has plotted against her to take from her that which she could not defend herself from. So she wanted justice. So she said, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy, not my neighbor. We're not arguing about borders now. This person is taking what I need to live, taking from me the peace of mind. Verse 4 says, the judge ignored her for a while. In other words, okay, I get to it. Man, all right, I hear what you're saying. Look like you ain't half dead, so all right, you're all right. The judge ignored her for a while. Now, we don't know how long a while was. We don't know whether a while was couple hours, a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months, or even a couple years. What we do know is he ignored her. In other words, he did not respond to her request. Why some people, when you don't know how to pray and you just send up blank prayers, you're not getting answers. It looks like you've been ignored, but really, you haven't addressed the king the right way, so it's being overlooked. And if you're praying to anything other than the true and genuine God, the creator of all that is, then it's not being ignored, even though you may think it's being ignored, but it simply is being returned back to you, returned to sender. There's no real addressee. Because who you're addressing, although they have eyes, they cannot see. Although they may have ears, they cannot hear. If they fall, you must stand them up. If they get dirty, you must clean them off. So you're asking them to work a miracle, but they need you to reposition. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I mean, she kept on coming back to him, hey, listen, judge, man, I really need you to give me justice. This person is they're charging me way too much. They're telling me in order to, you know, for my livestock, my livestock keep coming over into their land instead of them following the Mosaic law and returning me my livestock. They keep taking one by one or use them and using my goats, taking the milk and not paying me. They're abusing me. They're misusing me. They're treating me wrong. I'm not positioned to go and fight. I can't go toe to toe with them. I need you to deal with this injustice being done against me. Sometime in life, life can unfold certain ways to us. We can be in certain environments, certain situations where we really feel that we are personally being attacked by the individual across the aisle. We personally feel attacked by our bosses. We personally feel attacked by our coworkers, and some of us have actually physically been attacked. But we held our peace and said, I'm going to allow God's justice to take place. So finally, he said to himself, I don't fear God. That's respect. And I don't care about people. But, thank God for the but, this woman is driving me crazy. Every time I see her, she got the same song. She ain't changed her testimony. I'm being done wrong. I need you to make the law do what it said it will do to those that do me wrong. I am a citizen. See, that means everybody can't get what you can get as a child of God, because everybody's not a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so when we begin to stand on kingdom principles, we bargain with God. We're asking God to bring forth his judgment and for him to do what he said. Much like a parent, if I told my child, listen, I need you to go and clean your room, and once you clean up your room, get everything put away, then we'll be ready to go, and I take you to the park so we can play. That child want to go to the park. That child ready to play. They got some toys, something that you bought for them that they can only use at the park. So they are ready. They're anticipating on getting to the park. So they go and clean their room, but something gets your attention. Something calls you. You go to dealing with this or that for whatever reason, no matter what it is. That child finished. Do everything you told them. Spick and span. It's clean. It's done. No ifs, no ands, or buts about it. It is done what was required of them. They're going to come to you and say, Mama, Dad, I have done what you asked. I'm ready to go to the park. And you say, okay, give me just a minute. Well, 5 minutes go by. That child going to come. Mama, Dad, are we still going to the park? You said that if I clean my room and put everything away in its proper place, we can go to the park. That child don't want to hear nothing about your work. That child ain't trying to hear that your job has called you this, that, and the other. They don't understand that. That ain't their understanding. Their understanding was your word said, when they are done, then you will take them. They done. They're looking for you to fulfill your word. The problem with the church is they was looking for Jesus to come and to destroy the Roman government. They were looking for Jesus to come and tear down this and tear down that and change the country. He said, I didn't come to tear down. I came to fulfill. There's a promise that God has released in the earth. And Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy them. I came to fulfill them. Here's where we miss it in prayer. We don't need to understand what's being fulfilled because we don't know what's been given. The sad thing is we read it, but we don't understand it. Genesis says that, and God said, let man in our image and after our likeness, and give them dominion over the earth. And it named it. Not people, creeping things. Not people, the fowls, the fish, the beasts, air, water, field. Not people. People, it ain't what he told us. The people belong to God. They are like we are, like you are. We are a product of his making. So we need to learn, God, fix your product, repair your product. But we're praying for all other stuff. This woman went to the judge and said, listen, violation has taken place. And I need you to give me justice. I'm not asking for interest. I'm asking for justice. He said, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice. Now he become personal. He become personal because she remained steadfast. He made himself. The worst case scenario, a poor woman and a bad judge. A poor woman and a bad judge. This is the illustration to prove how powerful God is. He gives us the worst situation. Let's keep reading. He's saying, if you can get results in a bad situation, from a bad situation, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who is the best situation? So let me read. Verse 5 again says, but this woman is driving me crazy. New Living Translation now. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing, W-E-A-R-I-N-G, me out with her consistent, her constant request. Her prayer was a request. She was requesting the same thing because that's what was needed. Not that's what she wanted. That's what was needed. Righteousness to take place because she was being unjustly dealt with. Verse 6 says, then the Lord said, learn. The Lord is Jesus. Jesus said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. So I didn't want to call him a name. I didn't step out of bounds. Jesus said, learn a lesson. He's talking to us believers. He's talking to the child, the children of God. He's talking to those of household of faith. He's talking to the believer. He is talking to us. He said, learn a lesson from this bad situation. Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Verse 7, even her rendered. He rendered a just decision in the end. This unjust judge gave a just decision. He delivered the right response. He did the right thing at the end simply because she did not change her request. She was consistent. Power of prayer. The power of consistent prayer. Asking God. When that child came back to that parent again, that parent said, listen, I made my child a promise. I'm going to have to continue this conversation later on. And they'll hang up the phone or they'll stop doing what they're doing. They'll put on hold what they got to put on hold, and they're going to stop and take that child to the park. Why? Because they put their word on it. And they don't want to diminish their character in the eyes of their child. If they said it, that settles it. God has given you and I promises in his word that when we come to him in our request, we simply put him in remembrance of his own word. That's why we need to know the Bible. We need to understand what God has promised. The Constitution, the governing laws of the kingdom, is made available for us to understand them in these 66 books. Although there's many writings of the ancient age, there's enough information in these 66 to give us freedom from all types of oppression. So Jesus told them, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen, King James said, elect. We were elect of God because we accepted Christ. God will surely give justice to his chosen people. Listen, who cry out to him. Listen, day and night. Not just at the nighttime, but during the daytime too. So this is not just a one-time prayer. This is throughout the day. This is throughout the night. This is every time you make the conscious decision to pray, you are praying a consistent prayer. God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? Question mark. No. Jesus said, verse 8, I tell you, he will grant. Anything we know about grants, grants are stuff that you are given and don't have to repay. This is not a loan. If you fill out a grant, he will grant justice to them quickly. King James says speedily, same thing. But when the Son of Man returns, now he already there. He said, okay, when he come back, how many will he find on the earth who has faith? Cannot pray to God for justice and don't trust God to give it. You can't pray to God for righteousness and don't trust God to give it. You cannot pray any prayer to God and don't believe that he will do it. If you doubt that he's able to do it, you won't ever have it. Only way you'll get it, if it was something a part of his unsolicited favor. That means he didn't require anything of you. It was something that he willed to do, and it was going to happen automatically whether you were there or not. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. First Thessalonians, still in the New Testament. Just keep on going back towards the back. First Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is teaching them in Thessalonica. He says to them in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. To those of you that I've just given this message about, pray without ceasing. Never give up in prayer. I'm telling you, before you begin to pray, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Because verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. So before you pray, rejoice. What? Rejoice that your God hears you. Rejoice that you still have an ear to talk to of your God. Rejoice because you know he's listening. So rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Request. Acknowledge. Prayer is also acknowledging God. So either you're requesting of God or you're acknowledging God. If you have no request, then you acknowledge him. Acknowledge him for his goodness. Acknowledge him for his greatness. Acknowledge him for all that is holy within him that you have experienced with your own two eyes. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything. In everything. In everything. In everything. Give thanks. Not for everything. Not because of everything, but in it. You're going through thanking. Because you're still here to be in what you're in. In everything, give thanks. Why, Brother Preacher, he answered, for this is the will of God. Where? In Christ Jesus. Concerning you. He made it personal about your relationship in Christ, not apart from Christ. You can't ignore the teachings of Christ and then want the blessings of God. Don't work that way. You can't demand God to hear you and respond to you, but you do not abide in the teaching of Christ. It don't work that way. So while we're in Christ, the things that happen in our life, we're to tell God, thank you in them. That's that rejoicing evermore. I can thank God because I know that when Sunday comes, y'all heard the song, when Sunday comes, I'm going to the church house. And if my church has days that they're open in throughout the week, when that day comes, I'm going to the church house. And if my church don't meet but twice a month or once a month, there's a room in my house. Yeah, glory to God. That I have anointed the place of God. I know how to go into that room. I know how to turn off the TV and turn off the radio and hang up the phone or unplug the phone or turn off the phone, whatever the case may be. I know how to get myself in a place where there's no interruption. So when I call on the name of the Lord, I know he hears me because my voice is the only voice being heard in that atmosphere. And my voice is a voice that's going to create an environment that's going to be attracted to him, because the Bible that I read tells me that he inhabits the praises of his people. Glory to God. So I'm not going to be complaining about this and that. I'm just going to begin to lift up my voice and praise the Lord. Why? Because I'm going to give him a sacrifice of praise. Glory to God. Because I'm in my home right now, and I'm going through some things right now. And, Lord, there's some things that I don't understand and some things I don't agree with, Lord. But, God, I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for being good. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for reason a portion of health and strength in my mind, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that I have a frame of mind, Lord God. And, God, I'm asking that you align my mind up, Lord God, with your will for my life, Lord God. Lord God, I'm asking you, Lord God, to order my steps. Because your word says the steps of a good man are ordered by you. And in order for me to be good, God, you got to order my steps, Lord God. That means I need to know which way to turn, which way to go, Lord God, which way to run, Lord God, how to run, Lord God. Lord God, you told me we've been made to do it for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God, I stand on your word, Lord God. You said that you will bless me, Lord God. You said that you would give me houses I didn't build, Lord God. You said, Lord God, that you will add increase, Lord God. You said it in your word, and I'm standing on this principle from this Bible book. Lord God, I've done this and I've done that, Lord God, as you told me to do. I did it when you told me to do it, Lord God. I've been obedient to your word, Lord God. So God, I'm standing on your promises. You said it, God. I believe it. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time, Lord God. I know the enemy is working, because he's working against me, trying to make me doubt, trying to make me believe that you're not going to answer me, Lord God. But I read it in my Bible where you told Daniel that he prayed, Lord God, for 21 days, and he had no answer from you, Lord God. But he kept on praying, Lord God. And you had to send the angel, Lord God. You had to send a mighty cherub, Lord God. You had to send the archangel, Lord God, to tell us, Lord God, that his prayer was heard 21 days ago. But the prince of Persia held it up. Those spiritual wickedness held up the atmosphere, and Lord God made it so that he couldn't hear, made it so that he couldn't receive, Lord God. And so I know, Lord God, that the enemy is working against me, Lord God. But I know, Lord God, all things work together for the good of them that love you and are called according to your purpose, oh God. And I know that I'm called to your purpose, oh God. And I know that I'm seeking after you, Lord God. You said that he that hungers and earth after righteousness shall be filled, God. I need more of you, Lord God. I'm not studying this stuff, Lord God. I need you, Lord God. I need you, Lord God, because if I get all of you, Lord God, you said, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What things? The things that I need to fulfill what you have given me in this world, the things that I need so I may be the purpose-driven person that you have called me to be, Lord God, whether in the home or outside the home. God, I need you, Lord God, because I'm a representative of the product that you made, God, and I must be in right standing, Lord God, because there's a money-back guaranteed on what you do, Lord. So I stand on your promises concerning my life. I have bound up all generational curses. Stand on the blessings of my forefathers that prayed, the mothers before time that prayed, that your favor will be upon their seed. And I thank you for that favor. And I recognize those that paved the road for me. And I thank you for your love, because you said, in all things, give thanks. I thank you that I'm not in the cold, although I'm cold. I thank you for the hunger, but I thank you I still have something to eat. I thank you for having to walk because I have no transportation, but I thank you I can walk. I thank you that I know the way to get to work and how to get home, how to get to the store. I thank you for the mind to know my bedroom from my bathroom. I thank you, Lord God, that I can walk down the street and back and know that you have me covered from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Because you are a righteous judge. Blessed be your name. And that's how we pray, saints. And that's how we show thanksgiving to God Almighty. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Vision is seeing what God has shown you in your mind and in your heart. Whether you have eyes to see or not, vision is the ability to see tomorrow today. Vision is being able to see the house built before the land was plowed. God has given us vision. Now write it. Make it plain. Not your vision, his vision. Because his vision, he's obligated to send the means, the material. Trust his word. Well, God bless you, my friend. I thank you for listening to me today. I thank you that you have heard the word of truth. Hey, perhaps you don't know Jesus Christ for the pardon of your sins. Maybe you don't know him as Lord and Savior. I want to invite you today to know Jesus. I want you to know that John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only, not a many, not two, but his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants you to live. Glory to God. God wants you to have an abundant life. Glory to his name. And you can have it. It is simple. Romans 10:9-10 tells us how to do that. He says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God the Father has raised him from the dead, because he did die, thou shalt be saved. This is faith, y'all. Verse 10 says, for with the heart, that's the way repentance takes place, that man believeth, that's faith, he believeth unto righteousness, not foolishness, and not rebellion against what God hath declared. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with your mouth, your confession, the lifestyle choices you now live by. Because you may be mute and can't speak. So it's more than what comes out your mouth. It's what your body is doing, what you are doing. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. I mean, you could say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I am in need of a Savior. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means I deserve to die and burn for punishment of rebellion against the kingdom of God. But I accept you, Jesus Christ, as the atonement for my sin. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you were buried in a borrowed tomb. And I believe God the Father raised you 3 days later with power of life and death at your hand. And now I ask you to restore power to my life that I no longer be fallen from dominion, but I be reestablished to build in the kingdom here in the territory you have given me, to make your name known throughout the world. And I thank you now. This day I am saved because you have made yourself available to me. Thank you. Dwell in my heart. Work on my being so I may be all that you want me to be. It is in Christ's name we pray, Father. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer and you meant it, I want you to find a local ministry in your area. I want you to ask them when is the next time they're given baptism service. Yes, because we want you to do a public confession of an inward possession. And that is because you're saved now. We want you to obey the Bible and go and be baptized for the remission of sin. Amen. That means you're telling the world, I am no longer who I used to be. I have died with Christ, so I have risen with him into the newness of life. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are past, and behold, all things become new. You are in a new life now, and we welcome you to the family. We love you with the love of Christ. The angels in heaven are having a party right now because you said yes to God. Glory to God. God bless you. God keep you. And may he cover you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. And may you fulfill every purpose he has for your life. It is in Jesus' name I pray again. Amen and amen. I love you with the love of Christ. I now surrender the mic. We don't have no more time. I done used up all the time. Lord, have mercy. I didn't try to preach this long today, but it was what it was. It is what it is. And I pray that you will receive what it is for you. God bless you. You're back in the hands of those in charge of the program today. Thank you all for allowing me to be used by God to bless the audience everywhere. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was a good message there, Pastor Bond. I like the point where you were talking about the unjust judge and you were talking about his the woman's persistency. And it kind of reminds me about how persistent we've been about praying over the bus for the blind ministry. And so, yeah. Definitely. Got to have persistence. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I agree. Amen.
Amen.
Good work. Amen. Any other comments, takeaways? Anybody got a takeaway, add to?
Prayer of justice. Prayer of the righteous availeth much, and if we pray without ceasing, God will answer our prayer. Prayer all day, all night, and God, if we give thanks to God in Christ Jesus, he will answer our prayer. We have to trust in God's word, and thank God for God's justice.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I agree. Having that prayer time and believing in your prayer and trusting God in what you're asking, and make sure that you're asking what his will is and not your will, but his will for you and your prayers.
Amen.
All right, anyone else has any comments?
All right.
Yeah, I like that part where you said you've got to be persistent, and you really do have to be persistent. Otherwise, the devil will get in your way. So what I like is, cause I know the Lord more than 40 years, and the devil's come after me a lot. So the Lord's with me, and I know it gets better every day when you are persistent to read your word of God and everything.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Pastor Bonnie.
God bless you, Sister Emily. Amen.
You know, where you were preaching about staying, being persistent and letting God control what you need and not just keep on praying for what you want.
Amen.
Say that. Now you have to preach. Go ahead.
And Pastor Bonnet, I'm telling you, the first of next month will make 1 year. Got a roof over my head.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. The whole time
that I was out here on these streets for this, before I got my place last year, I was just constantly, I was trying to rush, as Ruth, Sister Ruth has this saying, you're running hither and yon. And I was running hither and yon trying to figure out, where am I going to be? Am I going to be out in the cold? But finally, God put my spirit such a butt down. And when I sat myself down, quit running hither and yon, God opened the door for the place I got now.
Amen.
And I just want to thank you for that confirmation word that God made me set my tail down and quit running around like a duck with my head cut off. And then you open the door to where I'm at now.
Amen.
And God answer you quickly with a just quick answer because you did what he told you to do.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. And
yes, we are blessed.
Good afternoon, yes, Mama.
Good afternoon, Sister Emily. Love you.
Love you too, Mama. And Queen Nye, it's good to hear you out here, beautiful.
Good to hear your voice too, Sister Emily. I was looking for you earlier. Glad you're here with us, and God bless you.
I will be calling you after the broadcast because I got to tell you something, honey.
Okay. All right.
And with that, I'm complete.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Well, our station owner is kind of quiet today, and we understand, so we're giving him a little break unless he wants to speak up. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and get into the Bloodhound of Scripture. Or maybe the cat stepped on him.
Yeah.
All right.
Trumpet stomped on him and squashed him. That's what it is.
All
No, actually, Trumpet took his tongue and ran off with it. That's what it was.
Probably.
Oh, wow. Wow. All
right.
Trumpet just gave him a good hug. That's, you know, he might need a good hug.
All right. Well, we got the Bloodhound of Scripture for you guys, and are you ready?
Yeah. We're ready.
All right. The first one that has it, pop off and say what it is. Okay, here it is.
Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou?
Ooh, we know where there's some power found in the word of a king. And we'll hear that again. Amen.
Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou?
And if you notice, you also don't ask that king, what doest thou? And we'll hear it one more time for our listeners' sake.
Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou?
Isn't that Ephesians 8, 1?
Ephesians 8, 4. Oh, sorry.
It's Ecclesiastes.
Say that again.
Ecclesiastes,
correct.
8 and 4.
Yeah, not
8 and 4, that is correct.
Yeah, Old Testament.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes 8 and 4. Now.
This is
what? Good job.
Now, the next question is, which show on the Six Eyes Radio Network has that as their theme verse?
The Word of the King, Timothy Gruver.
And Ruthie got that one. Yay!
You got that real quick.
What? Good job.
All right, and here's the verse you'll have to sniff out by next week.
I've been doing that soundtrack at work.
And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Now if we only knew who was bearing this record, we'd have an idea where it's found. And we'll hear that once again.
And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
And they saw and bear record that this was the Son of God. So we'll hear this one more time for our listeners' sake.
And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
And that's what you gotta sniff out by next week. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Well, guys, I look forward to hearing you all on tomorrow night on the 6 Hours Motivational Monday with yours truly. I'm a little tired now. I've been running. I've been up since about 5 this morning. Thank God for the time that went back that gave me an extra hour of sleep. I needed that. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. And I'm a little tired. I'm a lot hungry. I'm a little tired. I need some chicken or something. I need something to eat.
I'm going to buy you something to eat.
I'd be real hungry, so I'm going to, the preacher going to go get something to eat. And
Well, Pastor Bond, I thought you was like that song says, oh, I'm not tired yet, running for Jesus.
Keep on running. Ooh, yeah.
Look, you
I'm not
right.
tired
yet. In that sense,
I ain't trying to do it, but I do be hungry. And he said, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Well,
amen.
It's just righteous to have some chicken right now. So I'm in the It's just righteous to have some chicken and something, the gospel bird. Y'all know chicken is the gospel bird.
No, he didn't say that.
Why is the chicken?
You just had it last night.
Why chicken is the gospel bird? Well, he made it easy for us to catch. He didn't. He gave it wings, but it can't fly, so I can catch him.
Pastor Bonnet, you need to, you definitely need to go eat. He did not call. How is the gospel bird? And God made it easy for we. Okay.
If Pastor Bonnet having chicken, he got to bring Sister Emily some.
Well, my goodness.
Look, what's your email address? We're going to email you a chicken. We email
Pastor Bonnet.
Amen. What?
No, you can drive me some chicken up.
If I go to try to drive that far right now, y'all will be driving to wherever I land. Trying to do all that driving. You 11 hours away.
Pastor, yeah, I'll give you guys a secret. KFC does their chicken in a pressure cooker, and that's how they do it. So just want to let you guys know.
And it's wonderful. They got fryers too. The original recipe is in a pressure cooker. Amen. I worked for them for a short period of time. Back when I was about 19.
Let me get my darling something to eat. I will be seeing y'all later. God bless everyone.
All right. God bless you.
Love you. Take care, sweetheart.
All right. Take care. God bless everyone.
I gotta give him something to eat.
Okay.
I'm heading out the door. I feel like a hostage. I almost feel like a hostage right now. I take some bread and water.
All right.
He's something else, Wayne.
He'll take good care of Pastor Bonnet.
Yeah, when you hungry, you hungry.
I'm
so hungry. I want me something to eat. I'm so hungry. Can I have some chicken, please?
Oh, my
goodness. I'm so hungry. I want something to eat. I'm so hungry. Lord, see,
God
I'm
help
him. Get
that man some chicken.
He tells me to be good. Look who's goofing off.
Look, she told me to go to Fazoli's. And get me my spaghetti ultimate that I love to eat. But what she don't know is they sell chicken too. So I'm gonna get that and some chicken. That's right. Look,
he gonna get him some yard bird.
My God shall supply all my needs. I got her coming.
All right.
Oh, Lord help.
Lord have mercy.
He wants some yard birds, so let him go get him some yard birds. All right, everyone, have a great evening. Enjoy your Sunday and join us tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Motivational Monday. God bless
you. Not to mention, tonight at 9 p.m. for the cover-to-cover study of the Word on Station 2, you call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340, as well as on Station 2 tomorrow at 5 p.m. The new show begins at 5 p.m. tomorrow, which is The Six Eyes Lost and Found.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Yeah, if you ever watched Unsolved Mysteries, you'll get an idea.
All right.
So you'll want to check out both those programs.
Y'all going to be a point for a couple of to get a spanking.
All right, real quick, Missionary King, which chapters are you covering tonight?
Tonight we'll be covering Genesis chapter 27 and 28.
All right. Thank you.
Yep, and everybody is definitely invited, and definitely invited to bring your Bibles. You won't do much good without
definitely.
Your Bibles.
All right, amen.
All right.
All right, have a
All
great
right,
night,
we'll
everyone.
All right, we'll see you tonight.
Okay.
God bless your family.
Love everyone. Have a nice day.